This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Our theme for this year is heart to heart, and we're talking about justice. And today's particular theme is that God is passionate for justice. We've been looking at this idea of God hating injustice in Isaiah 9, God hating injustice, and then last week, and he turns away from it. And last week we looked at the fact that God promises justice, and we thought about the promise that is for now and the promises that is for then, for when he returns. And today we're going to finish off our studies in Isaiah 9 by looking at how God is full of passion, and in fact the word they use is zeal for justice, and how he goes to incredible lengths to put right what is wrong. The passage we're going to read ends, you'll see when we get to it, with the words, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And he is so passionate about justice that he makes a supernatural intervention into the world that we live in to establish justice forever. And this is the good news that we declare as Christians into our communities and into our neighborhoods. One of the key pictures that we're going to read about is indeed babies. And it's great to see Flossie. And think about the situation Flossie is in as a six-week-old, I think Simeon said. Let's read Isaiah 9 together. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Remembering that the preceding chapter describes how God has turned his face away and there's darkness and distress amongst the people. And then chapter 9, verse 1 starts with this: "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress." Verse 2: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy." Remember, God deals with the fears of the nation. "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy." He brings joy. "They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest," dealing with the fear of economic loss. "They, as warriors, rejoice when dividing the plunder, the victory. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." We talked about God shattering those, his desire for justice shatters those oppressions on our lives, those burdens on us. Verse 5, "Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire." It's the end of war. Anything that was used in war is going to be burnt. Verse 6, and here we go. This is it. "For unto us a child is born." If you've been listening to Handel's Messiah, one of my favorite pieces of classical music over Christmas, you'll immediately start humming when you hear these words. It's a great way to memorize them. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness." That's the basis. That's what he's going to do, establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And here's that verse: "The zeal of the Lord Almighty, jealousy of the Lord Almighty, the passion of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So that passage describes that transition from a dark world into the beginnings of a world where there is justice, where hearts are restored to hearts, heart to heart, where light shines in darkness. And we say yes and amen to that. And last week, we explored the whole, why do we see justice in its fullness now? Why do we have to wait for something? But then we also pray for justice now. And that begs the question, how is it God going to do this? And we get this in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How does, this here's a question, how does an almighty, transcendent, eternal, a holy God, how does he deal with the injustice he sees on earth so far below him? He could come in power and vengeance and just wipe us out. I mean, he could just nuke it and start again, couldn't he? He'd be quite within his rights, just coming in with the full weight of his retribution and judgment. He has the might and the right to do that. But no, here we enter one of the great paradoxes of history. God is so passionate to restore justice. What does he do? 5 centuries before the birth of Christ, Isaiah prophesies majestically. He sends a child, a Florence Ramdas Hasia, a Felicity Bratley, a child, a baby. He sends his son, Jesus, as a baby, like any baby, weak, defenseless, powerless, a baby who grows up to become an adult human being. The purity and power of God wrapped up in our tarnished and soiled clothes. This is the essence of the Christian faith. This is the gospel we preach. This is the Jesus that I invite you to follow. Those of you who follow him already, this is the Jesus we follow. But those of you who don't yet follow him, I invite you to do so. It's the best decision you'll ever make. God made man. God come to earth to live with us as one of us, to identify with us and to stay holy and God. He identifies with us humans, and yet he stays holy and God, to take our life and live it and sacrifice it, to allow this godly life to carry the punishment and pain which our unjust world and our unrighteousness has earned. A child is born. A son is given. Jesus Christ, both human and God. He's a man. A child is born from a woman, a human being. But he's also God. A son is given by God. Holy God, freely given to us. And this baby grows and lives. And though he is the Son of God, he is crucified, but then he is raised to life, thus defeating the power of death. The death that wreaks injustice in the world is defeated, and Jesus is raised to life and restored to the kingdom in fullness. And then the passage goes on to say, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be in charge. He will make the decisions. He will decide the course of history. He will establish justice and righteousness. It's his passion. There's a lot in the news these days about government. And a lot of it is simply you and me, frankly, denigrating the characters and the performance of those who are governing over us. Don't we long for leaders who have power, but who wield it with wisdom and peace? If we had leaders who were powerful but had wisdom and peace, wouldn't we just vote for them again and again and again? Well, the good news is we do. What sort of queen or king or president or prime minister is needed. What sort is needed? It's the sort that we are happy to worship, and it is he is the leader whom we do worship, and he is like this. He is a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. That's the sort of leader we will vote for. Wonderful counselor. That phrase is to do with supernatural wisdom. In the last year, we've seen leaders across the world, haven't we, struggling to make wise decisions in the face of a pandemic, in the face of fiendishly difficult situations and conflicting advice. And I am so glad that I'm not in their shoes. This counselor's passion for justice is guided by not academic cleverness, but supernatural wisdom. A wisdom that does not resort to violence and coercion, but which knows the paradox that there is life in death, a crucifixion and resurrection. There is strength in weakness. There is victory in surrender. He's a wonderful counselor, supernaturally wise, unusually brilliant. And he's mighty God, mighty God. Not just a God-like hero, you know, but God himself. Awesome in power. Power so great that it can absorb all the evil of the world for us and then bring us liberation. And this mighty God, this mighty God's passion for justice means that he will take all the pain and sin of the world until there is none left. And he's the everlasting Father. Not just an earthly Father, but an everlasting one. In other words, God the Father. A Father who cares for his children with love and forgiveness and in self-sacrifice. It's drawing on the fatherly images in the Bible, images like parallel with the shepherd looking after his sheep, the mother hen looking after its chicks. It's the care and attention. There's forgiveness in there. And for some of you, you have father figures who are far from that image. And this, in a way, doesn't help you to think of God as Father. But the Father here is a good Father, a forgiving Father. In our language, we make it a gender. It's not a gender. He's a good mother, too. She is a good mother, too. The Bible puts all those attributes on this wonderful person who cares for us and looks after us and forgives us and grants us grace again and again. This Father's passion for justice is not go-stop-go type passion. It will not expire or run out of patience or grace. It is everlasting and can be relied upon forever. And then finally, the Prince of Peace. This is the climactic description, not a God who gets his way by bullying or by abandonment, not a God who starts war. This God ends war. He is the one who restores humankind to himself and men and women to each other, heart to heart. This is shalom. It's a popular word in the Hebrew, but it's a weak translation when we translate it peace in English. It means a lot more than that. It's got the sense of harmonious relationships built into it and all that goes with that. Shalom is what happens when God brings justice and restores relationships. It's one of the characteristic Hebrew words to describe the kingdom, one where there's no more violence or anxiety or poverty, where there's barriers between people, The Shalom kingdom is one where there is fulfillment and well-being and harmony and goodwill, as well as peace. And here we have a prince, a ruler who is a rounded personality. He's perfectly integrated. He's whole, complete. He's at one with God, and he's at one with mankind through his sacrifice. And as prince, he brings this shalom. He brings this peace to you and to me, to us, heart to heart. It's where our relationship with the God of the universe, who loves us and is passionate for justice, our relationship with him is restored. Where we are able now and not yet to reach out in grace and restore relationships with each other and with those around us. We serve this Prince of Peace, and we have a better story to tell, brothers and sisters. We have a higher and more noble vision of life, one that is heart to heart. And don't we long to see this shalom in Headingley and Leeds and in our nation? Let me hear you say amen. Amen to that. Let's finish by looking at verse 7. It says, of the greatness of his government and peace there'll be no end. This is how God chooses to intervene in the world, how God chooses to confront justice by sending a child grown as a man, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, a prince of peace. And what does this ruler do? He brings in government and peace, of which there will be no end, it says. He will reign over the kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal, the passion of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace will set about ruling and establishing the kingdom, and it will increase and increase and go on forever. It'll increase as he takes on all the pain and suffering and sin of this world and dispenses with it. And it'll go on forever in pure eternity. And this universe, this eternal universe, is built on this moral foundation of justice and righteousness. And God is zealous for them. He's jealous for them. He is passionate for justice and righteousness and is on a mission to bring it into being now and forever. So there'll be no more tears or pain or hunger or abuse or violence or loneliness or loss or death. God sends the Son as a baby to live our life, to die for us, and to defeat the power of death. And it starts now. It can start now with you today. You can start to live in this righteousness today if you will choose to follow this wonderful, wonderful King, this Prince of Peace. And the amazing truth is that beyond just the privilege of being able to fall on our knees and worship and to follow this Prince of Peace, is that God, the better story is that God calls you and me into this kingdom mission. It's mission for justice and righteousness. It's time to wrap up. Let us kneel. Why don't we kneel before the Lord our Maker, before the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We kneel before him. Let us allow God to take off our filthy rags of pride and selfishness and lust and greed and discrimination and hate. Take those off and allow him to reclothe us in clean robes of righteousness. We are covered, cloaked in God's righteousness, as he forgives and sets us free. It's an extraordinary gospel. We're so privileged to know it, to be able to receive it, to be able to respond to it. And as we begin to absorb God's overwhelming love for us, his never-ending grace, his forgiveness, as we receive that, as we are changed, as we are, as his grace is poured out on us, so we find ourselves, the compassion rises up in us, the passion, his passion rises in us, and we become a people of justice. We seek after righteousness. We seek after justice. We are transformed and we are being transformed and we are becoming people who transform, who become agents for justice in our culture and in our world. So for those of you, and honestly, the word justice brings up many difficult connotations for lots of reasons, which we can go into another time. But this is my message to you, is that if we will receive that wonderful grace that child sent to die for us and to lead us into peace, if we will receive grace like that in our lives, the forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong, his presence in our lives, as we receive that, we can become, you can become a person of justice. God hates injustice and turns away from it. God promises justice, victory in the now as we wait for the fullness of the not yet. And God is passionate for justice. For the justice so passionate that he steps into our world and he sacrifices himself to save us and to restore us to himself. Heart to heart. And then show us the way to be restored to one another. Heart to heart. I'd like just to turn to some time for prayer ministry now. I want to pray into that for a bit, and then I'm going to invite Liz just to join me and share anything that she thinks we have for that people may have shared for us today. So I'd like to pray, first of all, for those of you, when I was talking about the father figure, and for you, for some of you, that's a difficult picture, that's a difficult analogy to work with. I just want to pray for you, if that's you. Either your father or your mother didn't live up anywhere near to what we hope for and what God is like. So, Lord, if that's you, this is my prayer for you. But I pray you'll go to my brothers and sisters for whom fatherhood, motherhood, parenthood has not been a great experience and does not reflect your likeness and does not reflect your passion for justice and righteousness. And I pray that my brothers and sisters will be able to do this amazing thing of being set free from the damage that's done by being able to forgive their parents, by being able to leave that whole thing at the foot of your cross, and to be able to receive from you. I pray, Lord, that you will give them a new experience of being parented by you. Would you grant those of my brothers and sisters for whom this is such a difficult issue, would you grant them just an extra gifting of your love and your grace and your forgiveness of being there with them when their parents weren't there with them, of being gentle with them when their parents were harsh, of speaking of your love for them, just like Ellie was singing earlier on, you love us all the same, speaking of your love for them when their parents didn't say those words. Right now, would you bring your healing and would you rescue this sense of your fatherhood, your parenting of us? Would you rescue this into being a wonderful thing for them? I pray. In Jesus' name.